what med school is really like. Welcome to the 213th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Now, I've been doing quite a bit of traveling lately. I was at the Association of International Graduate Admissions Consultants Conference and then had a couple of meetings on the East Coast as well as a little time off. As a result, I decided to air an encore of the most popular show so far in 2017, and that is, What is Med School Really Like? It's episode 196 with med student Natalie Wall, who was a non-traditional applicant to medical school and, at the time of the interview, an M1 at the Utah School of Medicine. I think any medical school applicant will find her insight and experience valuable and encouraging, if not inspiring. For those of you still working on your primary application or up to your eyeballs in secondaries, I also want to invite you to our webinar next week. The webinar is Secondary Application Strategies for Essays That Score Interviews, to be presented by Alicia McNeese-Namankar, who has been a much-loved medical school admissions consultant for Accepted for the last 5 years and previously served as the UC Davis Post-Bac Program Director. I'll link to the registration page for the webinar, which will take place on July 12th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can find that link in our show notes at accepted.com/213. Again, the webinar is free, but you do need to register, and you can do so at accepted.com, or you can find the link to the registration page at accepted.com/213. Just go to the bottom for relevant links. I assume that many of you also took a long weekend, or at least a day off for July 4th. I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July, filled with friends, family, barbecues, fireworks, and all that the 4th means for us, as well as maybe a minute to think about how special that day really is. As always, I want to thank you for joining me, and thank you specifically for listening to the encore of What is Med School Really Like? Natalie, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thanks for having me here.
Pleasure. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and where you grew up, stuff like that?
Yeah, so I grew up in Arizona. Didn't really do much in Arizona other than school. Danced quite a bit. Like you said, I went to Arizona State for college. Actually planned on attending law school. Started applying to that, decided I don't want to sit behind a desk all the time, and forewent my graduate school plans and then moved to Utah, and now I'm here.
Why Utah?
I had a thing with snowboarding and decided I would try to pursue that to see if there was anything there, and a few hospital bills later decided that probably wasn't a sustainable life for me, so I ended up here and still here.
How did you decide you wanted to pursue a career in medicine? There's quite a gap between dancing and snowboarding and studying.
Yeah, there's definitely a large gap. I come from a family of physicians, so medicine was something I was exposed to from a young age and kind of always around and always interested in. Because I pursued dance so seriously growing up, by the time I hit college, I kind of realized what it was like to have free time and be social and have friends and do all these things, and decided I wasn't really ready to jump into something serious, such as committing to medical school. So for whatever reason, I thought law school would be less of a commitment, and then later decided that wasn't what I wanted to do. So I think I was influenced early on in my life, but it took me, you know, kind of growing up and maturing and experiencing life a little bit to realize that I was willing to commit my time and money and effort to medical school.
Okay. Now, you quite clearly did not go straight from undergrad to medical school. You mentioned you tried law school. You were doing the post-bac program. What else did you do during your gap period? Because it was several years.
Yeah. So I took, I think it was a total of 2.5 years off from school completely. And I snowboarded every day, all day. Spent a little bit of that time in the hospital with some injuries, and eventually started coaching gymnastics, coaching dance. not really doing anything that looks great on a medical school application by any means, but definitely things that I needed to do to just get a few things out of my system and realize what I did and didn't want in life, and ultimately ended up going back to school to obtain all of my medical school prerequisites.
Right. And did you do a formal post-bac or an informal post-bac?
It was pretty informal. So I was a psychology major in undergrad, which was super awesome and very interesting, but very little physical sciences. In fact, I kind of avoided science courses like the plague. I think I took geology to fulfill my
That's how I went to college.
Yeah. So I had to start pretty much from scratch to get all of my prerequisites to apply to medical school. So I was, I think, 24 years old taking like biology 101 and chemistry 101. So I did all of my core science classes in about 2.5 years going straight through the summer. So it was pretty informal.
Okay. And I guess the main purpose was to get the, wasn't so much to raise your GPA, it was to get the required courses.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. When you applied, what was the hardest part of the application process for you?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious I was a non-traditional applicant. So I think that the struggle for me was trying to figure out, you know, my worth in this process that involved so many people that had been working towards medical school since they graduated high school and their entire resume was tailored towards science and medicine, and mine wasn't. So just trying to find strength in my own application, trying to find confidence in the fact that my application was a lot different than a lot of the people that I was meeting at interviews and whatnot was kind of a challenge for me.
Did you meet that challenge?
I mean, I'm in medical school, so I like to think so, but it's definitely...
Clearly you met the challenge. But I mean, in terms of your internal challenge, you talk about confidence. I mean, how did you present your non-traditional background in such a way where you were making the best of what you'd done?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely had somewhat of a science aspect to my application. Of course, I had patient experience and I spent a lot of time in hospitals and I had research and I had all of the required elements, but I tried to incorporate the fact that I did have life experiences outside of school and I had met people and related to people and experienced things outside of sitting in a lab all day every day or sitting in a hospital all day every day. And I found that those experiences have given me confidence in medical school to be able to relate to patients on a personal level instead of just going in and taking their history and doing a physical exam and leaving the room.
Okay. Now let's think back to your medical school interviews. What was the most memorable question you were asked in a med school interview?
Oh boy.
There must have been a couple of doozies.
Yeah, there's a few. I remember one of them asked me what book I was reading, and luckily I was reading this awesome book at the time, so I had an answer, but I'm normally not reading a book, so any other time that probably would have caught me a little off guard. One of the questions that stuck out as most memorable, maybe not the most positive, was an interviewer was looking over my application and somewhat condescendingly was like, well, I notice you have a lot of art background, but, you know, do you really think you're ready for medical school? And again, one of those things that kind of played to my insecurities, but at the same time, you know, I was able to turn that around and be like, well, if you look at my application, you'll see that on top of my art background, I also have a significant medical history background. So, I mean, they will definitely try to throw questions your way to make you a little uncomfortable, but they're just really looking to see how you're going to respond under pressure.
Right. No, I think you're 100% right. Why did you choose the University of Utah, or did it choose you?
I definitely wanted to take into consideration not only where I would be attending school, but kind of the area around where I'd be attending school and making sure that not only would I enjoy my time in the classroom, but my time outside of the classroom. I've always been pretty outdoorsy, and Utah has everything.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. I've only been there a couple of times, but it is magnificent.
Yeah.
What do you like best about the Utah College of Medicine, and what would you like to change?
I love the administration. I think one of the things that blew me away initially was how invested everybody is in your success. And again, I don't have any other medical school experience to compare this to, but everyone is just so invested in making sure that you do well, and that if there's something you want to accomplish, that you'll accomplish that. And I imagine that people are like that at other medical schools, but I only have my experience at Utah, and not that I wasn't expecting that, but I don't think I was expecting it to the degree in which it happens. As far as what I would like to change, I'm not really sure, because I mean, I only know how my medical school does things. I don't, you know, I haven't attended multiple medical schools. I mean, it would be nice if there was a little more vacation, but understandably, that's just not the reality of this career I've chosen. So,
yeah, I think a lot of professions would wish there were was more vacation too. I don't think that's unique to medicine. You wrote on your blog that you were dreading cadaver lab, but which I assume is also called gross anatomy, but actually found it to be your favorite class. How did you deal with your anxiety? Because I'm sure everybody has it. And what do you like about it?
So cadaver lab was a very unique experience for me. I was absolutely terrified of the idea of gross anatomy lab. It felt, you know, a little intrusive, and a bit uncomfortable. So I actually went into the lab about a week before school started and just walked in and was like, hey, I'm Natalie, my first year. I'm absolutely terrified of dead people. And they kind of laughed at me for a little bit. And I just sat down there for a few hours the week before school started, just to kind of acclimate with everything and get used to everything. And I remember one of the lab coordinators, who is phenomenal and a huge reason I think I ended up enjoying anatomy lab the most, asked me what I wanted to do as far as specialties were concerned. And I told him surgery. So he handed me a scalpel and he said, okay, we'll start dissecting. Anatomy lab ended up becoming the most amazing experience I've ever had.
Why?
There's just something so personal about spending an entire semester working and learning on one body and getting to know this person in ways that other people never got to know, and learning things about her that maybe she didn't learn about herself in the time that she was alive.
It's very interesting. I don't even know what the movie was. It's some old movie, and I think Cary Grant was in the movie that I saw, and it was also, you know, a group of medical students, probably in the 50s or 40s, about to start their first gross anatomy class, and he was giving this lecture on how you have to appreciate the human being that this cadaver represents. Okay. What surprised you most about medical school?
I think I went into medical school with this expectation that it'd be extremely cutthroat and, you know, kind of like the movies, people not wanting to share their notes or help anybody out because of class ranking and all of these things, and found that expectation to be completely wrong. Everybody in my class is so willing to go out of their way and make sure everyone's doing okay, not only academically, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally.
That's great. That's fantastic. Now, at this point, you're in your second semester of your first year, right?
Yep, correct.
What are your best tips for adjusting to and surviving that transition to medical school?
So I don't think that it's necessarily that the content that you're being given is innately difficult. I mean, by the time you've been accepted to medical school, you've mastered basic physical sciences, and it just kind of keeps building off of that foundation that you've already created. But the volume in which you receive the information is unlike anything I've ever experienced, and common consensus is it's unlike anything most of my other classmates had experienced also. And I remember when I started school having a lot of upperclassmen tell me, you should do this, you should download this app, you should study this way. And a lot of those tips are really helpful, but I think the best piece of advice that I was given and that I continue to give to people that are applying now or have recently got accepted is just do your own thing. What works for someone might work for you. It might not work for you. Give yourself about a month of an adjustment period. Try out different study techniques and figure out what works, because what worked for undergrad might get you through medical school, but there's a good chance that it won't, and that's okay.
Okay. Now, at Utah, do you have any opportunity for clinical exposure in your first 2 years before you get to the rotations?
Yeah, so embedded in the curriculum is a decent amount of clinical exposure. I've had a lot of clinical exposure. I don't know if that's necessarily common as a first year. I've sutured patients. I've scrubbed in the OR. I've done a lot of really awesome things. If clinical exposure is something that you really want in your first 2 years of medical school, my best advice is find an awesome mentor, because if you can find a great mentor and you can, you know, set aside the time and show that you're enthusiastic to learn, you will be given those opportunities.
Okay. Where do you see your career taking you? You obviously have, if you visit your blog, which we'll discuss in a minute, anybody will see that Natalie is a fantastic photographer. Are you interested in radiology, or what are you interested in going into?
Radiology, probably not for me. I need to be doing something at all times. I'm pretty fidgety. Surgery is definitely what's been piquing my interest for the last few years. I like working with my hands, and I do love art. I feel that surgery is kind of that perfect combination of, you know, art and science. I spend a lot of time in the emergency department, and the more time I spend down there and the more procedures that they let me do, the more that I'm swayed a little bit into considering emergency medicine. So those are my two contenders right now.
Okay, that's interesting. We actually have a really good friend who is quite the amateur photographer and also is a radiologist. So that's probably what triggered my question. But yeah, he loves to go to weddings and take pictures alongside the photographers. And when our daughter got married, my husband actually that night had a cramp in his leg, and he was trying to walk it off, and he heard some noise at the front door. It was about 3:30 in the morning, and it was our friend delivering, you know, a CD of photos that he'd worked on, edited, and curated, and all that from that nice wedding. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And he is a very fine radiologist when he's not photographing weddings. Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. Now, as I mentioned a minute ago, your blog, in addition to articles about what you're doing and stuff like that, or posts, is Natalie Shoots People, which I assume refers to photography, because there's also fantastic photography there.
Yes, it refers to photography. Unfortunately, nataliewall.com was a bit out of my price range as a student to buy, and this was available and a lot cheaper.
And now, one of the things I noticed was that most of the photography is nature photography with relatively few people in it.
Yeah, I try to combine both. Definitely inspired by nature and just how dynamic it is and how you can go to one location six different times and get a different photograph every time. I like people, but if I do photograph people, I like them to be not necessarily the main focus of my art.
Okay, great. So we're getting towards the end of the interview, and I wanted to ask you if there's anything you wish I would have asked you.
I can't think of anything in particular, to be honest.
Okay. In that case, any last pieces of advice for pre-meds pre-meds, accepted medical students, people about to take the journey and steps that you have done?
I would just say that if you feel like you don't exactly fit the path that everyone else tends to fit in order to do whatever it is you're interested in, whether it's medical school in general or a particular specialty, just, I guess, have confidence in what you have done and figure out what your personal brand is and just be confident with that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Natalie. I know you're in the midst of studying. You're taking out time. You've been very generous with your time. And I want to thank you so much for joining me for this podcast and sharing your experience and perspective. Where can listeners find your blog and learn more about you or any other URLs that you want to share?
So I think that the best way would be through my Instagram. It's at Natalie Wall, or my Twitter, which is at Natalie M. Wall.
Great. We're going to link from the show notes at exhibit.com/196 to those URLs. And we'll also link to her blog, which is, as I mentioned, natalieshootspeople.com. And we're also going to link to some other resources that medical school applicants and students may find helpful, all from the show notes at exhibit.com/196. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 196th episode. If you found this show worthwhile, please make sure that you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have subscribe links in the show notes at exhibit.com/196. And another quick reminder to register for the 5-part framework for a successful medical school application, a free webinar to prepare you for a successful medical school application journey. Go to exhibit.com/5partmed, and 5 is the digit, to register and save your spot today. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.